Moncrief on News Talk.
This week on News Talk, we are focusing on the fantastic work done by the Make-A-Wish Foundation and the people who have benefited from that. We're joined by Jolene O'Brien, or Byrne, I should say, whose 8-year-old daughter Evelyn has juvenile Batten disease. Jolene, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me.
So when Evelyn was born, everything seemed fine for the first few years. Would that have been the case?
Evelyn was fine till she, between 4 and 5. Her speech was never really very good. And she was a little bit clumsy. But I would say up to about 4 years of age, we were oblivious to there being any issues with Evelyn. Mm. And then when she, between probably 4 and a half and 5, she started to become quite clumsy and we started to see issues with her. So she was in school, her teacher was concerned about her and we brought her into the opticians and they said that they were concerned about her eyesight. So she was referred into Temple Street. And by the time we got her into Temple Street, when she was 5 and a half, they told us that she was already legally blind.
My God.
Yeah. No, we didn't. It was a shock because we knew she had issues with peripheral vision, but not to the point that she was already legally blind. So we were sent away, told that her eyesight would get progressively worse to the point that she would be completely blind at some point, but it would be a slow progression. Mm. So they requested that we get genetic testing to see what gene was causing it in the hope that down the road there would be some element of genetic therapy that she would maybe be able to get the eyesight improved. So that was July 2021, I think. Yeah. And then in May 2022, out of the blue, she had a seizure on a Monday afternoon after school in the evening time before she was going to bed. We didn't even know what a seizure was. We didn't know what was wrong with her, but she was completely, you know, non-responsive after she had it. So we called an ambulance and they brought her into Temple Street. Now, at that point, she was already completely blind. She basically, her eyesight was gone at that stage. So they were shocked that the eyesight had gone so quickly and now the child was presenting with epilepsy. So they knew there was something more to it than that. So they kept her in for 4 days and they went and looked for the genetic testing that had been done. And they came back to us then on the Friday afternoon. They called myself and my husband in. And they told us that she had a condition called juvenile Batten disease, which we had never heard of.
Yeah.
And I knew, by the way, the neurologist's hands were shaking, that this was not good news. Oh. So it's a neurodegenerative condition. Unfortunately, it only gets worse from here. Her eyesight was the first. She has epilepsy. It was managed for the first year on medication. But in the last 6 months, we've noticed she's having seizures every 2 to 3 weeks. We're having problems managing it with medication. Her communication is quite poor. And from here, mobility is going to go, like communication will completely stop. It's also a form of dementia. So her memory is already, like short-term memory wouldn't be great. Her long-term memory is very good. And they say her life expectancy will be late teens, early 20s. Now, to us, I have made contact with other parents across the world of children with this condition, older, younger, the same age. And Evelyn is 8 years old and she is definitely presenting more rapidly than other children of the same age. So we're thinking the prognosis is probably
right,
a bit worse than late teens.
And because it's dementia, so I assume that's kind of impeded her cognitive development.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely. I would say that she's intellectually disabled at this stage, whereas at 4 years of age, there was no sign of that.
Yeah.
She was able to, now to be fair, she never really counted higher than 12. She loves counting. She was able to count to 12. In the last 6 months now, kind of since the seizure started, the counting was quite bad. She was trying to count but couldn't. Now, strangely enough, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, she's suddenly starting to count to 8 again. I'm very proud of the fact that she's counting to 8 again.
Yeah.
So it kind of comes in waves. Mm. But in general, yeah, like cognitively delayed and that will only get worse.
Yeah.
So it's an absolutely devastating disease for a child.
She is aware she's blind, though. And,
yes.
And she can remember a time when she wasn't blind.
She can, but she has never actually said, why am I blind? Or she's never complained about being blind. She does remember a time. Now, I don't know whether cognitively she understands the difference between when she could see and when she couldn't. I'll give you an example. She watched a lot of television when she was younger, which I'm so glad about now. She loved the Disney princesses. And so she watched a lot of those like movies and TV shows. And her memory, now this is one strength of Batten disease. Their long-term memory is very, very good. And this is why we try to get as many like lifetime memories in now. So she'll have them for when this progresses further. but her memory is so phenomenal that she can watch any of these shows. And when I say watch, I mean she's listening to it, she can't see it. And this is something that she loves to do all the time. And she will actually enact the scenes as though she's looking at them in front of her eyes. It's all happening in her head.
Yes. So she is kind of seeing it. In her brain, she's seeing it.
It's actually phenomenal to watch her. Yeah. Watch these shows and see her do all of the actions.
Yeah, and you did manage to get her over to Disneyland in the Parisian one, but
shortly before COVID, literally 2 weeks before COVID, we got her out. Now she was only just gone 4 at the time, so yeah, she experienced it, which was fantastic. She is a huge Belle fan, and her sister Grace, our older girl, loves Rapunzel. And the way it works in Paris is that you're kind of it's potluck which princess you get to meet. So we did our best. But they didn't get to meet Belle or Rapunzel. So that was a big thing for her to meet these princesses.
Yeah, so but Make-A-Wish made the Belle wish happen, so to speak.
Yes, in the most amazing way. We applied for Make-A-Wish. The thing about this is that you're trying to make the memories while she's able. Like at the moment, she's still able to walk and stay able to understand what's going on in that. So we're trying to get as many memories. And even as a family, like she's got an older sister, Grace, who has Down syndrome, who's 10, and a younger brother, Benjamin, who's 5. And we want them to have these memories too, because down the road, we don't know what kind of life that we're going to have when we're looking after her higher needs. So we applied to Make-A-Wish, something Disney related, whatever they could do. And they came back to us with this, the kids call the Disney Hotel. Now, the Disney Hotel is not there 12 months in the year. The Disney Hotel was created by the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And I think they've done it now 3 or 4 years in a row. And it's literally 2 weeks where they bring, every family gets 2 days. So they bring the Wish kids over and you go into a hotel and it's been transformed into a Disney Wonderland, basically. Mm. And there is, like, there's princesses. Like, at any given time of the day, you can go down, you can meet the Toy Story guys, you can meet Winnie the Pooh, you can meet Star Wars characters, you can meet the princesses. They have different shows like they would have in Disneyland. But one of the shows, I think it was on our main day, which was the middle day, they did, like, I think it was Belle's Ballroom was the title. So you went in and there was a show and there was 4 princesses. There was Rapunzel, Belle, Cinderella and Tiana. And at the end of it, like the end of every show, the children were enabled to go and meet with the characters at the end, as much time as they wanted. But we had been told by the Make-A-Wish guys beforehand, when the show's finished, hang back, just stay back. We've something special for Evelyn. Mm. So the show finished, they met all the different people and all of a sudden we looked around, there was nobody there, only our family, some of the Make-A-Wish guys and the 4 princesses. In this massive ballroom, and they had all the time in the world. At one point, Grace and Evelyn were standing between, like in the middle of the 4 princesses, chatting away like it was the most normal thing in the world. Like it was just spine-tingling. Like it was just amazing.
Yeah.
It's not something that you can like go somewhere and find. It was something that had to be done for us. It was just, I can't even describe it to you and give it enough weight. It was just amazing.
Yeah. Have the situation, your other kids, your other 2 children, how I assume they're asking questions about
this?
They are.
Actually, both of them are. With Grace, because she has Down syndrome, she's 10. I was thinking that she might not ask as many questions, but she is. Unfortunately, because Evelyn is having quite a few seizures, they're there. They recognise the seizure now and they're saying, "Mammy, Evelyn's having a seizure." And I've noticed with Grace, the last 2 or 3 weeks, she's saying to me, "Mammy, why is Evelyn having seizures? You know, why is Evelyn blind?" You know, and little lad Benjamin, he's 5, but he's quite sharp for a 5-year-old. And he's the same asking. And you kind of just have to make it as childproof as possible.
Yeah.
Explain. Like, to be fair, at the moment, Evelyn's main issue, thankfully, is communication. Like, the seizures are a pain that they might happen first thing in the morning and then she might end up missing a few hours of school. The sight she has just got used to. Like, it astounds me how she's just adapted to the sight.
Yeah.
But communication is a real problem because it's hard enough not being able to see, but not being able to express your one-sider is more difficult.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
And so they know, obviously, that she can't see.
Yeah. Yeah. They know.
But I suppose you have to
disease.
Be kind of about this might get worse. Do you have to warn
no,
them?
No, no, I haven't. I say, you know, this is Batten disease. Batten disease sucks is the phrase that we've started using. So no, they know that she's blind because of Batten disease and she's having seizures because of Batten disease. But no, beyond that, there's no point giving them, like the future. I mean, like it's hard enough for us to be thinking of the future without the children having to worry about it as well, you know.
And do you have to think about that in terms of planning for it?
Yes. to be ready, I guess. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I'm not sure whether, like, from what I've seen, now it's hard to know because this is so rare. Like, you know, they don't really have a fixed, you know, like a large number of people to compare it to. But from what I'm seeing, most of the children that I'm in, like the parents of the children that I'm in touch with, they're 10, 11 year olds. They would have been diagnosed 2 years after Evelyn. So like Evelyn was six getting diagnosed, they were eight. And they're not as bad as she is. They're still well able to take part in school and things like that. So we're concerned that this is, because it's progressed quite quickly so far, that it's going to keep progressing. So, yeah, like planning for like the house, we were very lucky to get an extension built at the end of last year. So we now have an accessible bedroom and a bathroom at the back of the house, an accessible storeroom for medical supplies down the road. All that kind of stuff. Now, some people say you're very early getting that done, but I'd rather have it done now than be panicking, needing it. Because, I mean, there's times where Evelyn has fallen over out of the blue and you're going, oh, God, you know, is this the start of it? Mm. But it might just be that you tripped something up, you know. But you're like the whole time worried that in 6 months' time, everything could be very different again.
Yeah. Now, and there is there are trial treatments.
Unfortunately, not. We were hoping for a clinical trial. There is one running for older kids with juvenile Batten disease in the States. It's just finished 18 months. It's for young adults over 17 years of age. Mm. It's for a medication that's already available. It's called miglustat, and it's actually for two other rare conditions, Niemann-Pick C and Gaucher syndrome. And it's actually available over here for children with that condition. But because it hasn't been through a trial for Batten disease, Evelyn can't access it.
Right.
So we were hoping to get her onto these trial for the older children. They're doing a younger phase for the younger children. We've been over to meet the guy in London who's going to be running it. We met him last November. We're very interested in getting Evelyn involved. But since February, we've been told that one of the backers has pulled out and they don't have the funding to proceed. Now, they're hoping to get funding, but again, it's pushing this thing down the road. And like what Evelyn doesn't have is time.
Yeah, indeed. What kind of toll does this take on you?
We just try to keep going. We just try to keep going and try to keep the children happy and give them, you know, happy lives. You don't really think about it too much because you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
So we just get up and we keep going. And I don't know. Like, I mean, people say, how do you do it? You do it because you have to do it, because this, like, she's our child and we love her and we want to give her and her siblings the best life that they can. This is what we signed up for when we became parents.
Yes, indeed. Do you get respite at all?
Our families are fantastic, both sides. We're very close to our families. Both my parents and Eddie, her dad's parents, brothers, sisters, cousins, were quite close. Quite regularly we'll meet up. We have a mobile home down in Wicklow, so we spend a lot of time down there, and family have it down there as well. So when we're down there, she'll spend time with aunts and uncles and cousins, and we'll get the hour or two to kind of catch up on the dinner and that kind of thing. So we're very, very lucky from a family point of view. I actually don't think that we could do it without our families.
Yeah. And when the families, because I suppose there's things, you know, if she's being looked after by, you know, a cousin's family, you have to say, well, look out for this today, because that might happen.
Yeah. Well, we're never any, like, we're always pretty close by. I've become more reluctant to leave her with anyone for any length of time since these seizures have started, because if she's a seizure that's over 5 minutes, then you have to administer medication. And I don't know whether, I mean, I've had to do it twice. Eddie's never had to do it. So I don't know whether I want to leave anyone else in that position of having to do it. So we're normally quite wary about leaving her with anyone for any length of time. We're always within a few minutes of being able to get back to her normally.
And is the medication an injection, or how do you administer?
It's actually not like a needle. It's a liquid that you put into the mouth. So you put it into the mouth and then you have to rub it into the gums. It's okay. It's just a little bit overwhelming for someone that's, first of all, dealing with a child having a seizure and then having to remember to do this.
Yeah, especially if you've never kind of experienced it before.
Yeah. And like seizures, when they're full on seizures, are very scary to watch, especially in a child.
Yeah. God love you. Jolene, you're a hell of a woman. Thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. And the very best to you and to Eddie and to your entire family.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.